on ABC Classic FM.
Next year, another round of the Sydney International Piano Competition, which is one of the top comps in the world for pianists, and it's been around since 1977. News just out this morning that the competition has a new artistic director for the 2016 competition, and it's going to be Piers Lane, who many years ago, in fact, in the first SIPCA back in 1977, was winner of the prize for the best Australian pianist. Well, he's come a long way since, and it's brought him to the seat in front of me. Piers, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Chris. Because it makes me feel old when you tell about the first competition.
Oh, well, you were only, four, or is it, weren't you? Seven?
A prodigy.
38 years ago. Golly. Do you remember? Have you got memories of that?
Oh, huge memories. Absolutely. Yeah. It was very big in my life at the time. I was a third-year conservatorium student in Brisbane, and I had had a taste of international competitions the year before with the Liszt Bartok in Budapest, which was a huge eye-opener to me. You know, you can imagine an 18-year-old in Europe for the first time, and it was behind the Iron Curtain in Budapest, and so that was extraordinary. So I had high hopes of the Sydney International following year, and it didn't disappoint. That was a magnificent competition.
Well, you went on to build an amazing career both as pianist and now as artistic director of this and the festival in Townsville. You therefore must be a fairly avid proselytiser of competitions. You must think they're a good thing, because a lot of people don't, of course.
Yes, I don't think you'd find any musician who thinks they're the most wonderfully musical thing, but they're here to stay. It seems to me that every city worth its salt boasts a competition these days, you know. And if you want to do something in that world, you've got to get in there. You can't ignore them. They're here to stay.
Yeah.
And they can be a wonderful thing, providing goalposts for young artists. And I think the important thing is to think from the competitor's point of view and to see how we can really help those young people and not do them in psychologically, which is the great criticism always.
Yeah.
But they also become a huge festival for the city that they're in, you know, real feast of music and music making.
Oh, so people go for the marathon, don't they? They sit there from go to woe. It's quite amazing. Lots of people do that.
Wonderful thing, yes.
And look, you're a pragmatist. It's about building a career, isn't it? It's not just a matter of being crowned a very good piano player.
That's right. I think that's what I'm hoping to do, to make this competition truly global and to make it worthwhile, all those young people coming from all around the world, because they might have the chance to foster a career based on that win. It's tricky these days. You've come across young pianists who've won six first prizes, you know, and they're still struggling to have a career.
Yeah.
So I would hope, with my international contacts and the career that I've had, to extend the range of prizes for people so that it really gives them a platform to start with in many corners of the world, not just in the Pacific region, but in Europe and in the UK and in the US and so on.
Are there fashionable sort of no-go zones stylistically for pianists in competitions? I think of some of the more idiosyncratic players who've ended up being renowned for being idiosyncratic but haven't done well in competitions because
they're just a bit left of field. There's many players like that, aren't there? I'm terribly excited this year because I've got Piotr Andruszewski coming to the AFCM in Townsville.
Well.
And he's one of those mavericks.
Fabulous.
You know, he walked out of the semi-finals of the Leeds competition years ago because he hadn't thought that he'd played well enough, and everyone was dismayed because they were expecting him to win. That made him famous overnight. He didn't do it for that reason at all. He's got too much integrity. But that happened with Pogorelich famously, didn't it, when Marta Argerich walked out. So that sort of thing can happen by default as well. But yes, there are people who famously have won because they've trod a middle line.
Yes.
And it's how to get around that sort of thing. Voting systems can mean that people who do well from everyone's point of view, but wouldn't be anyone's choice of winner, emerge as the overall winner because their high points get them through, you know.
Yeah.
And how to get around that sort of thing. I'm going to be looking very closely at voting systems for sure. But
will you be on the jury, by the way?
No. I'll be the non-voting chairman. And at first I was thinking, gosh, if I were running the competition, I'd like to be judging it as well because I judge a lot of competitions. But then I thought about it. I thought, no, as chairman, you should be available to competitors who may or may not get through and may or may not be upset. You need to be available to the jury for consultation if they need that. I think it's much better, in fact, to be the non-voting chairman and able to be there for anything that arises.
The middle person. Well, you've been a jury member at SIPCA back in 2004. Does it become a bit like the Eurovision Song Competition? You know, the Russians vote for the Russians.
Look, it seemed to me that it was all incredibly fair in 2004. Okay, I was looking beady-eyed for any, you know, corruption and goings on, and I couldn't find any, that's for sure. And I think this competition has had a name for being very fair-minded. But inevitably, juries do favour their own. I remember sitting with a wonderful Israeli lady when I was judging a competition in Tbilisi in Georgia once. Yeah. And when I was talking to her, she was quite blunt about the fact that she didn't really rate one of the competitors. But she said, you know, I have to vote for him. He's Israeli. And yeah. So there is a certain pragmatism. I will be hoping to choose a jury that has no prior interests in people. I want to go for performers mainly, and those who I consider good judges but who will be in a position to help the prize winners, rather than teachers, because there is this thing around the world. You see teachers being invited to competitions and then not voting for their own, but, you know, there's always the question of, well, how did it happen that the students of those particular teachers got through to the finals and certain other people didn't? There's always a slight question in the air. So I would like to go for a rather transparent jury of performers and others who can do things for the finalists.
Yeah, get excited about the performing. Now, we won't go any further in that direction, but sure. You've partly answered my next question, which is that what does an artistic director do? These kids can all play the piano. They're all turning up to play. What is there to direct, artistically speaking?
Well, right now, I've got to go through all of the rules and regulations and all the repertoire requirements and just look at everything. Things have been the same in the Sydney competition for a long time. And as you say, it's nearly 40 years.
Yes.
So we're in the 21st century now. All of the young pianists who are accepted into that competition will be virtuoso pianists. There's no question. They'll be top class. Technique won't be a matter for concern.
Yep.
And so I've got to decide what will produce the most all-round musician, a 21st century musician who can do lots of different things, who's a real musician, a fantastic piano player, somebody who's ready to take their place in the world of piano playing and be welcomed by their colleagues into that world. Mm. So really, it's a matter of me looking at the requirements very closely, looking at the prizes. The last few competitions, there's been a page long of prizes, and I thought there were some anomalies when I looked at it, because the fifth and sixth prizes last time were the same amount of money, and it was only $2,500, whereas some prizes for one piece were well over that. So all sorts of anomalies to be sorted, I feel, to take a fresh look at it and to invite the jury as well. It's fairly late in the day to be booking performers for next year's jury. And so, you know, that's where my contacts with people will come in to play. And also thinking about the prizes and so on, you know, every aspect of the competition I will be examining afresh.
Yeah. Have you ever worked out the average of how many hours of practice each competitor must have done to get to this point?
I haven't. No.
Can you imagine?
I think about the hours of practice I've done.
It would have to be tens of thousands of hours, wouldn't it? Really.
Yes.
An amazing amount of work. Now, listen, this is another Australian commitment, Piers Lane, artistic director on top of Townsville. I hope someone's dusting your apartment in London. How's it looking over there? It must be getting pretty.
Yes, my apartment doesn't see nearly as much of me as I would like. But, you know, these days you can be based somewhere else and do an awful lot via Skype and via email and so on. And it dovetails beautifully with the AFCM. The competition will finish on the 23rd, I think it is, of July, and the AFCM will start a few days later in Townsville. So it seems sort of timetabled to fit.
What does it do to your own playing career, Piers? Because this is a substantial commitment. You've obviously made some sort of strategic decision that you're going to reapportion your time.
Not really, actually. I'm a great believer in busy people doing things.
You're so irritating, Piers.
Oh, don't be silly. No, I think, you know, a lot of the work that I do for Townsville is late at night over there and that sort of thing when you can't practice. Yeah. And I suspect this will be one of those things as well. And I think each job will feed the other, actually.
All right. If you want something done, ask a busy person. Look, congratulations, Piers. It's a great gong. And I think it's a wonderful thing for the festival, for the competition to have asked you to be involved. And so, which means we'll be talking to you a lot next year when it's all happening.
That sounds lovely, Chris. I'm glad for that. It's almost a year since I last spoke to you, I think, when I was to start the tour with Patricia Routledge.
Once a year, not nearly enough. We'll just have to listen to you playing now. Piers, all the best.
Thank you so much, Chris.
That's Piers Lane, the new artistic director of the Sydney International Piano Competition for 2016. And he makes it all sound so sensible, doesn't he? He's also such a fabulous player. That's Piers Lane when he's behind the keyboard, or at the keyboard, the new artistic director of the Sydney International Piano Competition for next year, 2016. It's customary for ABC Classic FM to cover the entire event for you, and fingers crossed we can do it in 2016. And congratulations to Piers Lane, who was playing there. Love Walked In, the song by George Gershwin, as arranged or transcribed for the keyboard alone by Percy Grainger.